Meteorologist Joe Bastardi, the American Storm here with, I think this is episode 23, if my memory serves me correct. But please don't take that as gospel, since I hide my own Easter eggs. And I'm looking forward to this weekend of hiding them and then trying to figure out where I did. We have here the voice of the record-breaking Penn State wrestling team, Jeff Byers.
Pretty special weekend out in Kansas City.
Yes, that's right. The only thing that went wrong was they would not let me go into the pull-up contest, which I could have won over there at FanFest. And
it's also wrong that you go to Kansas City for 4 or 5 days and don't have any barbecue. That's just, I mean, I get it, but my gosh.
Yeah, I probably should have had some. And the snickering there is the American girl, Jessie Bastardi, who is a voice of common sense and reason from the younger generation.
Hello.
Okay, hello. Okay, so I'm going to just start with the joke of the day so I can get it out of the way over here because I actually remember it. So this 92-year-old guy goes to the doctor. He gets his checkup. And anyway, the doctor sees him a week later, and he's walking down the street, and he's got this beautiful, beautiful girl, 20-something girl on his arm, and he's smiling and everything else. And the doctor says to him, "Hey, you know, what's going on?" He says, "Well, I took your advice. You said go out and get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor says, "I didn't say that." He says, "I told you you had a heart murmur and be careful."
Oh boy. Well, every now and then, the bad hearing pays off.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, of course, we've had this situation in Baltimore, which I don't believe the weather had anything to do with it. All right. Last night.
Climate change not being blamed on this one?
I haven't tweeted something like that saying, oh, next thing you know, they'll blame it on climate change. We had a disaster like this back in May of 1980 in Tampa, where the Skyway got hit by a 600-foot cargo ship, but there was a severe thunderstorm blowing across Tampa Bay. And, of course, that really would, you know, I mean, think Edmund Fitzgerald and some of the other stuff that goes on when that wind goes like that, especially when you get gust front hitting a 600-foot-long barge. The amount of energy that can push that barge around is incredible. So I don't think weather was a factor here. The skies were clear. Winds were 5 to 10 miles an hour out of the northeast. The barge was heading out of Baltimore Harbor. I find it amazing that, and again, you know, you can't, I've tweeted this. I go, how the heck? It just came out of the harbor and it lost its steering. And I'm like, how does
it? Lost power.
Lost
power.
You
can't steer it without power.
Right. But
power.
But I'm wondering. And also, it looked like it was going by and then all of a sudden just turned in. I don't know. But I'm wondering. I can't help but wonder, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. How the heck didn't you get the thing inspected and make sure it's up and running when you were in the harbor?
Look what happened. Sorry to interrupt, but like, don't they say about every single airplane that you
see?
Well,
that's what I'm talking about. What the heck is going on over here? Right? Guys like me have my suspicion as to, you know, the whole thing with COVID caused people to retire or they didn't want to take the shot and some other things that are going on that that maybe the best people don't always get. I don't know. But I'm like, okay, when did you ever hear of a ship losing power just, you know, 30 minutes out of the port? I mean,
yeah.
And so this thing is registered in Singapore. And does it come all the way across the ocean from Singapore? How do, you know, so it's just weird, but the weather is not involved with that. So there cannot be any blame on climate change. Now, we continue to see the evidence of the phony climate war that is going to cause a big problem in this country. We just traveled cross country from State College, Pennsylvania, all the way out to Kansas City. And I cannot believe the amount of solar panels that I'm seeing now on the highways. And let me just say something. They're going to get what they deserve. And I'm not even talking about the fact that you got unreliable energy. All right, there's been a lot of rain in the Midwest today, so solar panels aren't working. I'm talking about the mesoscale effects of these solar farms, okay? Now, I think I talked about this morning with you, Jeff, on the radio, that they create climates that enhance thunderstorms, right? And the reason why is if it's 70 degrees Celsius at 10 feet above the ground because of the reflection, and here's what they won't do. They should be putting weather stations in the middle of every one of these solar fields, 10 feet above the ground, which would be about 6 feet above, because we measure temperatures at 6 feet above the surface of the Earth. Okay. But the solar panels effectively raise the surface of the Earth 4 or 5 feet. Let's stick weather stations, you know, extend the poles up to 10 feet and see what these temperatures are getting to over the solar fields. And say, okay, we got 121 degrees over here where it would have only been 92 because it was green grass underneath. In fact, as soon as I get off my high horse, I'm going to write a CFAQ blog on this matter because my last blog of Where the True Environmentalist, I brought this up. But this is what's going on. Questions? Comments?
Well, I am of the firm belief that at some point down the road, whether it's 20 years, 50 years, 100 years from now, we're going to go back and look at this time period and wonder what in the world this generation, our time right now, was thinking. When you had safe fossil fuels, which you knew how to use, you knew how to harness the power, and you knew the impact that there was on the environment. And with any of this stuff, there is an impact on the environment. But with that, we now have a handle on it, what it is, where it is, and what to do about it to mitigate it. We are hurtling down a road where we don't know what the impact is. We don't know what the long-term effects on the environment are. And not just with the solar panels, with the wind power and, you know, the impact that is having on aviation. And again, we don't know what impact it's having on the overall, ecosystems and all of the different things that can be impacted, and I we're doing all of this in a rush to supposedly save the environment, and I really think, and again, at some point down the road, we're going to look back and be like, my God, these idiots just destroyed the environment while trying to say that they were saving it. To me, it is absolute insanity.
And what I'm doing now on Twitter is I'm handing out something called the Fyodor. Fyodor, as in Dostoevsky, who said, tolerance will reach such a level that intelligent people will be banned from thinking so as not to offend the imbeciles. I mean, John Kerry's got about five of them so far. Bill Gates has got a bunch of. And you got this one guy from the WEF who says, we need to reduce population on Earth to 1.2 billion. But the planet can support something like a billion people, maybe two. He's a Club of Rome guy. And he says, we could do it in a civil way. What?
Civil way.
What's the civil way?
Yeah.
I'd love
to hear that one.
Where these people come from? I mean, I think Mark Levin is right that no matter what the situation is, that our colleges have turned into indoctrination camps. And nobody goes for the source region. They don't go for the source region of weather or climate, source region of COVID, source region for what's going on in the Middle East. Everybody seems to be, just dancing around the issue in an effort to get this by. And here's the latest one. Joe Biden, all right, claiming that he took a train over that bridge that went, he used to take the train all the time, would go over the bridge on the way to Washington. There was never a train track on the Key Bridge. Now, and so he says this stuff, and I don't even under. And what bothers me about it is, oh, he's just dementia. No, he's not. He's making stuff up to make himself look more important. All right, and what happens is now we've got the EV mandates, right? You heard about what they're doing? Did we learn anything from the vaccine mandates, right? Now, I know a guy, all right, and Jesse knows a guy, and he shall remain nameless to protect his innocence. He's a very innocent person. He happens to have an EV, and he routinely runs out of charge. He has to go 8 miles just to charge the thing, all right? And I don't see where the increase in convenience, safety, or effect on the environment is. And so for you EV fanatics out there, fine, buy your car, and all you want to do, you can do what you want to do. Do not force it on other people, all right? Especially, oh, well, EVs have tax rebates. They got tax rebates because the public is paying for them. And they don't do anything for the environment to create one of these cars. I mean, we're basically raping the land to get the minerals we need for this stuff. And I don't know about you guys, but you ever notice what happens with your cell phone? The more you charge it, the less the battery charges. Holds with each, yeah. Yeah, right? So what do you think is going to happen? It's diminishing return. So, in any case, that is a situation. One of the many things that have been going on this week, with the climate situation. And again, I try to hook it in to some other things that are going on. And the common thread is delusion, deception, and distortion.
Well, and all in the name of ultimately preventing freedom. Which is I think as an American should be the primary concern. You go to the COVID again. You want to get the vaccine, fine. You want to if the government wants to tout all of the great things that it thinks it can do, fantastic. I'm okay with that. If it wants to present a one-sided all of that as far as it goes is okay. But when you start telling people that you cannot use the light bulbs that you like to use, you cannot access the cars that you know run efficiently, and that you can go anywhere. Yeah, right. You can go cross country with gas powered vehicles without any problem if you have the money and you have the means. I mean, you will find gas stations all along the way. It is fine. If the EV may make sense for some people. If you are a homebody and you're just staying in town, again, it may make sense for you. That's fine.
But don't believe that you're saving the environment.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
But if you want to use them, fine. And at the end of the day, if you want to believe that you're helping to save the environment, fine. I go for it, but believe it. You want to think the Earth is flat? Have at it. Whatever. You want to think. Man never went to the moon. It was all staged. Cool. Go for it. Have your beliefs. But again, when you start telling other people that this has to be the way you do things, that's where, and especially when we don't actually know the long-term impact and the long-term effects. Again, even if we did, I'd be against the restriction of freedom. But even more so, when you don't actually know what it is you are doing to the environment to actually help or harm all of the, the ecology, but, the air, the quality of life, all of that, while at the same time restricting freedom and saying you're doing it in the name of, in this case, saving the environment, but whatever it is, saving lives, saving, good health, whatever, when you are impacting people's freedoms, and you don't know the long-term effects of what it is you're having them do, like, that's just That's bad on every front.
You know, my friend Tony Heller, and he's very prominent in the climate situation, says, after 16 years of studying this topic, I've come to the conclusion that people pushing the climate scam come in three categories. Dishonest, scientifically incompetent, dishonest and scientifically incompetent. And you know what's interesting is I responded to him and I says, you know, Tony, I always have been guilty of believing the best about people. It's one of the things my brother said. You know what your problem is, Joe? You believe the best about people, right? But I hate to say it. I said back, but I'm getting there too. I've always believed the best of people, but the shutdown of all aspects of this is a form of tyranny. Another possible category is ethically challenged, all right? And it's across the board, the common denominator. Joe Biden getting up and claiming that Donald Trump advocated people injecting themselves with bleach when all he was trying to say is that the kind of aerosols that can get into your lungs, which was proven to be true, these steroidal aerosols. And by the way, when you take a nasal spray a lot of times, that's how that works, right? Here you have two supposed Catholics, Biden and Pelosi, standing up there just visibly lying. And what is bad about that is you may say, well, Trump lies, all right? This recent case, do you believe Mar-a-Lago is worth anything under $500 million? He put up the stuff with collateral, right? And do you have a house, Jeff?
I do.
Okay. So did you jump through hoops to get your house?
Sure did.
Did the bank verify every single thing?
Every single thing.
You know, in our house, our estimate came up underneath what the objective estimates were saying it was, right? But the point of the matter is that they just simply lie about, and 50 to 60% of the American public believes it. Now you say, well, Donald Trump is, I mean, I see, you know, the thing with Dory and some of the other stuff, fine. But he always gets called on anything. The other side never gets called on anything. Now, lately, Dr. Michael Mann, formerly of Penn State, has started mouthing off. We've had two relatively snowless winters in the eastern part of the United States about this is what it's going to look like in 2050. Oh, wait a minute. It's 2023 now. New York City is 25-year snowfall from when you guys were saying snow will be a thing of the past has been higher than the previous 25 years, right?
But what's bad about that, what's really bad about that, is if in a couple of years we get a couple of really snowy winters, he's just going to flip it and say, well, yeah, this is, we didn't realize the impact. This is even more devastating than we thought. I mean, that's the beauty of how the landscape that they have put out there for themselves is such that no matter what happens, that they can fall back on, yep, this is what happens. So that even when they're wrong, they're not going to say, oh my God, yep, we got it wrong. This isn't as big of a deal. It's going to be a bigger deal if we get a horrendous winter.
I agree. And it's just like it's the victim mentality. Everybody gets a trophy that no matter what answer you have, you get to be right as long as you're on a certain side of the issue. I hate to say it. There's no turning back.
By the way, sign me up. I want more winters with less snow.
Yeah, you son of a gun rooting against your friend.
I am rooting against snowfall in Pennsylvania. I want like one good snow at Christmas. I want to go sled riding with my kiddo for a day or two, and then I want to be done. I want to be back into good, nice spring weather, but by the 70-degree afternoon.
By the way, it has been this last week is definitely a victory for my side of the cold. This week that we're in now is sort of a draw. Next week will be well below normal, and then we'll get out of it. So the groundhog would have won. But so I come in last night, and my wife says, there's something wrong with the hot tub. I go, all right, what's wrong? That's the last thing I want to hear. What's wrong with the hot tub? Well, it had some ice on it. I go, ice on it? how does it have ice on it? Sure enough, I open up the hot tub, and apparently something knocked our power out, and I had to restart the power, and the water, there was ice in the hot tub, something at the top of the hot tub. And I'm like, all right, it had to be darn cold to get ice in that hot tub. Because even when the power went out, well, I have that. Well, I never go in there because I don't know. I don't go. I have a massage chair and a hot tub. I stay away from them because I don't feel that I should ever feel good about anything.
There you go.
So I once talked to. It's kind of funny. I come from a Catholic background, so it was Coach Santoro out at Lehigh. He's one of my favorite people of all times. And so my middle name is Michael, and his middle name is Michael, Patrick Michael Santoro. Like any good Italian, you're going to be named at least a bit after the archangel like that. So I says, oh, PMS, like that, just getting. I go, what does that mean? He goes, Pat must suffer, which is one of the classic lines,
yep.
The classic lines of all time. But in any case, it has been cold, and of course, we had the blizzard in the northern plains, and we had the phenomenal Easter skiing coming up in northern New England. I mean, 1 to 2 feet of snow. Northern New England did not have a snow drought this year. Boston's way, way below normal. So is New York. Providence is about 75% of normal. But once you get to northern New England, it was a heck of a year up there, even though it was a little bit warmer.
That's what you get with climate change, Joe.
Anything can happen, and probably will. So the American girl has been suspiciously quiet here. Do you have anything to say? I know you had a long day working today.
Yeah.
Did you have any special guests come in today?
Yeah.
All right. I do the weather on Jeff's station, and I put in plugs for Kendra Taylor. Her husband's going for the Olympics here.
Yeah.
And he's already won an Olympic title for their little shop over there. I keep telling men, I'm getting you extra baby diaper money because they just had another critter.
Yes, they did.
In any case, of course, we just returned from Kansas City, where Jeff, of course, did what Jeff does.
Screamed into the mic.
You know what? Yeah, but the interesting thing is you're like a hurricane that comes together, because the more inflow from Penn State wrestling goes into you, the louder and more, genuine, because you don't have a chance to think when your reaction.
That is true.
It's sort of like watching missile. That's what I call a missile Messenbrink wrestle, where it's just everything is. You know, stream of consciousness and
yes.
everything else. Now, I don't know how many wrestling fans we have listened to this. But of course, there's a unique link between weather and wrestling.
Yeah.
I just haven't figured out what it is.
Aha!
I do know that I was telling people that since 1950, I'm the only lettered wrestler, Division I, to get a degree in meteorology. And that continues, although I'll tell you what, we got a kid, local kid over here, Lucas Fry, I think his name is. I don't know how he did in the States this year.
Fry. He got injured and didn't get to compete in States.
Well, he's one of those kids where, you bring him on your team because he's a solid, sort of like Baylor Shunk.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I saw a tweet from Baylor Shunk today. And I guess he walked into a store and said, Penn State Wrestling. And the guy says, did you wrestle for Penn State? And he goes, yeah, I wrestled for Penn State. He goes, well, you must not wrestle much because I've never heard of you, right? And I felt so bad for him. And I'm sitting there going, that's exactly opposite of when I was in school. I mean, even the second team guys, if I walked into like the Red Horse Tavern.
I got to tell you, I don't think there are many people that are following Penn State wrestling that don't know who Baylor Shunk is at this point.
Well, that's
I think that's more on the whoever the guy was than Baylor is pretty doggone well known.
He's also local.
That's what I mean.
I know. So that's on him.
Well, I've run into people that they know him at least peripherally associated with.
I mean, he's wrestled a lot of bouts. Like he's filled in a lot here over the last 4 years. So. Mm-hmm.
He should have said, "I couldn't help if you're ignorant." But I once was at a Sheetz filling up my car gas, and guy comes out, and he must be from North Tyrone or something, because we live in a place, folks. For those of you who are not local over here that are listening to this, that has a lot of unique outside state college characteristics. All right. And he gets out of his car and goes, "Hey, you associated with Penn State Wrestling?" I go, "Well, a little bit indirectly." He goes, "You know Casey Cunningham?" And I says, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty good friends with him." He goes, "He must be one, I'll use, heck of a man." I go, "Well, yeah, he's a man of the Lord, and he's just a great friend, one of my closest friends." He goes, "I'm not talking about that. Talk about the fact that he has 5 kids. I was like,
"Amen.
Where does that come from?" But Jake outdid him. So Jake Varner outdid him.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, this is crashing pretty quick. Do you have anything else to say?
No. Yes. I have one question for you. The United States wise, what are we looking at for Easter weekend for the weekend?
Well, we're looking at. In the Northeast, it looks dry until Saturday night or Sunday. All right, we do have a wave of low pressure coming up along the eastern seaboard Thursday and Thursday night. That moves out to sea. Then we have one of these clippers come down out of the Northwest, and it could mean that the Easter Bunny is going to be wet behind the ears from Michigan in the Northeast. Maybe a little bit of snow. Also, not so much here in State College. But up in the northern and central plains, the Great Lakes could have a white Easter up there. I'm not that concerned about severe weather now, but there is a way that April shapes up as a pretty big severe weather month.
Yeah.
And that's something that out of the last, 17 years, only four of the Aprils have been above normal as far as tornadic activity goes. So that's something that has to be considered down the road. But the Easter weekend was sort of tranquil. Now, after that feature goes by, that's when it gets really cold for several days, and then hopefully we break it after that.
One final thing for me. I just, on the wrestling front, a lot of pride, obviously, in everything Penn State did this weekend. But can I tell you the thing that I, as somebody that is, peripherally associated with the program, that I think all Penn Staters ought to take great pride in, because I run into a lot of different people, talk to a lot of different folks across the country about the wrestling program, and a fairly common refrain, some kind of kidding, some more serious. It's like, yeah, Penn State acts like it's all about having fun. Easy to say when you're winning. Everybody has fun when they're winning. If you go look at the press conferences of Bo Bartlett and Mitchell Messenbrink after they lost in the NCAA finals, and you listen to what they're talking about and the joy and the passion with which they talk about it, that they both talk about, neither of them are obviously happy with losing. They're competitors. That's not the point. What they both said is they are, I'm paraphrasing, they are content because they went out and they wrestled hard for all 7 minutes, gave themselves a chance to win, and they're at peace. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically the gist of both of their comments, that it was fun to be out there. Bummer that they lost, but they're going against other great competitors too, and they'll be back, they'll keep working, but it isn't about the winning and losing. It's about getting out there, challenging yourself, doing your best, and again, at the end of the day, if it's good enough to win, fantastic. If not, you still have fun in competing and challenging yourself. Go watch, even if you're not a wrestling fan, if you want to see two guys who handled losses as graciously as you're ever going to see anybody handle losses. And you tell me, you come away from that saying that they're not wrestling with joy. I'm talking about two guys that lost in the NCAA finals. You can hear the joy, not in the losing. You can hear the joy that they have in being part of that event, part of this sport, part of this program. It is exuding out of them as they talk about the process. That is special stuff, and it doesn't happen very many places.
Yeah, well, they give the same interview when they lost as if they would have won.
That's exactly
my
right.
My son took it beyond that. He told me that, he said, Dad, he says, I don't know if it's by intent or purpose, by intent or accident, but the amount of witnessing about God and gratitude is reaching so many people through the Penn State program. And I keep telling people there's a different way. You know, when you're a coach and you're emotionally involved, and the first thing that starts happening when something goes wrong, there's all sorts of stuff starts spewing out of your mouth. Then you got to wonder if you make winning your God as opposed to the way to get closer to God. Now, I'm not saying we've got all these goody two shoes or whatever, but here's the thing that. That in being around you, you're of course a little bit closer, but sitting and talking, you know, in the, I won't say directly what we talk about in the saunas. I would, after practice, a lot of times I come out of there in awe at the spiritual guidance. I don't know what it is. I tell Casey all the time. I said, listen, hey, you've been here 13, 14, 15 years, right? Okay, the wrestling groupie part wore off after 2-3 years. The reason I love being around here is you guys are like my life group, right? Just listening and talking and seeing that. Like, okay, one of the kids, okay, I come into sauna yesterday, and one of the kids that's getting ready for the Olympics is in there. And he's got just absolutely nothing but spiritual music on. Sitting in the sauna as opposed to bum, 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 you know, whatever. That's not to demean that. And I got to tell you, maybe the reason I gravitate toward him, I feel exactly that way in my job. Like after this was not losing in the last second or because I didn't know about the riding time. What happened to me this winter is, 15-0 technical fall, right? But guess what? I'm like, wow, I have a chance to do this. I was even telling the guys today, they were saying, well, when was your first memory of the weather? And it turns out, it appears it's when I was 9 months old, right? I went back and verified. When's the first time I remember snow? And it was, I went back and we were in Rhode Island from, I was born in 55, July of 55, to 1960. And I went back and looked at every Easter. And only one Easter had snow. Only one Easter had snow during that time, and that was in 56, right? But I remember snow at Easter, and how do I remember? It's because I remember I had my Easter bunny. My dad was working the midnight to 8 graveyard shift at United Wire, which is about a quarter mile away from where we lived, and he'd walk home every morning, and my mother would put me in the high chair and, you know, watch for Dad coming up. And I remember having my Easter bunny. Now, that's just crazy memory stuff, right? And, you know, it's in the blood. It's in the blood. But that kind of joy, the only way to have that kind of joy is gratitude. Like, I have gratitude for everyone that's listening to this now, whether you agree with me or not. God bless you. Thank you so much. Just that you would even turn this on. But for the people I work with at Weatherbell, and for the subscribers we have, and even for critics, I'm. Can you imagine what that's like, Jeff? When you were 3 years old, did you want to be doing? You didn't know you were going to be doing this, did you?
Definitely did not.
And I know Garrett loves the weather, but I know that Jesse in gymnastics actually. She was from 2 years old. She was, you know, all into it. And, sometimes I wonder if that's a, That's a good thing. I was one of these guys that always encouraged my kid that they could be the best at what they were doing. And sometimes, without, I don't think I put a lot of pressure on you, did I, Jesse? No. But she was always, I was telling the guys today when I was training Kerry McCoy, right? And down in our basement, she was always down there watching us lift. It's like Rocky Balboa or something, you know? So there are things that are in your blood.
Yeah.
And I would tell people, never deny that. Always be grateful for it. And, you know, I love the sport of wrestling because I love it and I wasn't good at it, which even intensifies the love more because sometimes you could take some stuff for granted. Fortunately, I'm not as good in the weather as I want to be. So it enhances the love, put it that way. All right. Well, a very quiet evening from the American girl.
I'm just listening. Good stuff.
Hopefully we get a lot of other people to listen. Mm-hmm. Got to try to figure out how to take this thing like, you know, ZZ Top national, you know, nationwide or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that if you listen to this podcast, tell your folks about it. And if I offend you, then get in line because that's been going on since I was 2 years old. I mean, I remember.
And that's okay.
I remember I had the prettiest girl in high school. Yeah, she had two words for me. One was scram, and the other I'm not allowed to say on the air. So, all right, we want to sign it off over here?
Let's sign it off. Have a good week, everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, a very, very happy Easter. It's still Passover, right? So we for a Jew, you know, the Passover is huge. You know, people go, Hanukkah. No. The Passover in this time of the year, is the holy season, is huge to our Jewish friends. And, you know, I'm well aware that when you look at our culture, it says Judeo first and then Christian. And everyone have a very, very blessed Easter. And just remember, eggs are good for you. Mm-hmm. And you have to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.